Every year we do Thanksgiving. While I'm talking, you can turn to Leviticus chapter 7. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, third book of the Bible. Leviticus chapter 7. Every year Thanksgiving comes around, and sometimes you wonder, what else can I say about being thankful? You know, one of the great stories is about Matthew Henry. He got robbed one time. And they said, well, what do you have to be thankful about there? He says, well, I'm thankful they took my wallet, not my life. And I'm thankful that I had something they could rob. I'm thankful that I was the one that got robbed, not the one doing the robbing. So sometimes it's just the way you look at it. Milton Berle said one time, our turkey was sick all day long and had a thermometer in it. Yeah. Someone said one time, the first turkeys weren't wild. You know, they teach us that they served wild turkeys on the first Thanksgiving. It said the first turkeys weren't wild. They just went wild when they found out what the pilgrims planned to do with them. So, but there was an atheist, and this is his comment on Thanksgiving. The Puritans celebrated Thanksgiving because they were saved from the Indians. And now we celebrate Thanksgiving because we've been saved from the Christians. Okay. I want to look at the Thanksgiving offering in the Old Testament. There were five, six, seven offerings in the Old Testament, but one was the thank offering. There was the whole burnt offering. That's your commitment, your surrender to God. It was a sacrifice of love. There was the meal offering. That was joy, thanksgiving. The peace offering. You celebrated being at peace with God. The sin offering. When you were sinful or guilty and wanted to be right with God again, you went to the temple and offered a sin offering. And then there was the trespass offering. You'd stepped off of God's path. You had trespassed. You'd stepped across the boundary. And so you would bring a trespass offering to be reconciled to God. Right in the middle of Leviticus chapter 7, beginning in verse 11, you have the thanksgiving offering, the Old Testament thank offering. So let's look at that. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 11, and this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he shall offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now that's the animal, the bull, the sheep, the goat. He shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for the heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priests that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offering, and the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is gathered, and he shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow, it could be for thanksgiving, it could be making a vow or a promise to God, or it could be a voluntary offering. God, I want to give you an offering because I want this answer to prayer. I want this blessing. If it be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth his sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. Now, if you look at verse 11, the sacrifice of the peace offerings, there always to get to God has to be blood. Blood atonement. And so they would sacrifice a bull, a sheep, or a goat. The thanksgiving offering to give thanks, verse 12. The vow, making a promise to God, verse 16. The voluntary offering. I want something extra from God, so I will give God something extra. Okay, that's where we get the idea sometimes of the difference between tithes and offerings. The tithes are what we owe the Lord, the tenth. And then the offerings are beyond the tenth to God. Now the cakes, there's cakes and there's wafers. The cakes were like a braided bread ring. Okay, they braided the bread together, sometimes like Jews do today with their challah bread. The wafers were round discs about a half inch thick, kind of like fat tortillas. And they were made out of fine flour with oil. Verse 13, the thank offering is given after the peace offering. You always do the blood sacrifice to be right with God before we give God anything else. We have to be right with God in his sight before we do anything. And then it's always eaten the same day. Nothing left over, no delay, nothing left to spoil. It's a day-by-day thing. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Because our relationship with God is new every day. Morning by morning, his blessings I see. That's the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Every day, God's blessings are new. So every day, we bring God a new thanks. Now, the types of sacrifices, the bull, every one of these is a picture of Jesus. The sacrifices are a picture of Jesus. The bull, strong, patient, service. All of the covered wagons out west being pulled by horses are really not historically correct. They were pulled by oxen. The ox is the weapon of steady, hard work. Strong as an ox. Deuteronomy 25:4, thou shalt not muzzle an ox at the trough. Now you could bring a sheep, a lamb. Sheep and lambs are surrendered. Picture of Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. John 1:29. Jeremiah 53:7. He shall be as a lamb to the slaughter. He openeth not his mouth. He is dumb before his shearers. The Lamb of God, Jesus. Then the goat. The goat. Goats are ornery. Goats are a lot of times symbolic of us. But Leviticus 16, this goes to the Day of Atonement. Leviticus 16:21. Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited. And he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. This is the scapegoat. This is the goat that walks away with all of their sins for a year on the Day of Atonement. He's not killed. They transfer all their sins to the goat, and he bears their sins away from the congregation. Another picture of Jesus. There's a poem that says, the scapegoat on his head the people's trespass bore, and to the desert led was to be seen no more. In Jesus our surety seemed to say, behold, I bear your sins away. But besides the animals, you brought the cakes, and they're made out of fine flour. Pure flour, refined flour, just like Jesus' body was pure. Hebrews 7:26 says, he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, eternal into the heavens. And that fine flour, Jesus, had the Holy Spirit upon him, the oil. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord hath come upon me, and he proclaimed the captive to the freedom to the captives, sight to the blind, to declare the acceptable day of the Lord. There are a number of Old Testament scriptures that say the Holy Spirit would be upon God's Messiah, and it was upon Jesus. So you have the pure flour and the oil of the Holy Spirit upon this sacrifice. Now there's a verse in Leviticus that we have a tendency just to not pay attention to it all. Leviticus chapter 4, verse 11. What do you do with the whole burnt offering? What do you do with the bull after it's sacrificed? You kill it, you shed the blood, what do you do with it? The whole burnt offering, you burn the whole thing. And it's a picture to us, okay? God teaches us in pictures. Leviticus 4:11, what do we burn on the altar? And the skin of the bullock and all his flesh, with his head and with his legs and with his inwards and his dung. Everything is burned up in the fire of judgment. Now, why is that important? Because the Bible says that Jesus takes away all our sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and not our sins only. That's not right. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm mixing that with the next one, 1 John 2:2. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of all the world, the whole world. Now, why do you burn the skin of the animal? Because the skin is the outward appearance. Some animals have beautiful coats, some don't, okay? But the skin is the attractiveness of the creature. The Bible says there are pleasures in sin for a season, Hebrews 11, 25. Why do we burn the flesh? Because flesh in the Bible is a symbol of all the urges we have in our human life. Galatians 5, 19. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the list goes on and on. The works of the flesh have to be paid for, and so you burn the flesh of the animal. The head, we think it up before we do it. The head has to be burned in the fire of judgment on the altar. Genesis 6, 5, God saw the thoughts of man's heart are continuously evil. They burned up the inwards, the heart, the lungs, the kidneys, the inner parts, the internal organs. Jeremiah 17, 9, the heart of man is evil and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so the inner organs of the animal had to be burned on the altar of sacrifice. And then the animal's dung, the animal's waste, that's the byproduct of the animal. Our byproducts of our sin have to be atoned for. Lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so that has to be paid for. You know, this one verse, Leviticus 4:11, is a tremendous picture about how all of our sin in every form, in every condition, was paid for on the altar in the Old Testament. And then Jesus paid for it on the cross of Calvary for our sins. So, what do we get from this? What do we get from the thank offering? Well, first of all, how do we come into God's presence? We come into God's presence to offer sacrifices, to offer a thanksgiving offering. Has to be on basis of the shed blood of Jesus. Hebrews 7, 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The only way we approach God to say thank you to him is because we're saved. Because Jesus has died on the cross and we've claimed that in our lives. And so we come to God to do thanksgiving. We come to God to bless God because of what Jesus did on the cross. Otherwise, we have no relationship with God and God doesn't hear us. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayer. So always we celebrate Jesus' salvation of our souls by giving us his righteousness. God has to be satisfied before God can be celebrated. And we have to trust the finished work of Jesus on the cross before we can actually have a Thanksgiving service. We have to be saved before God will accept our thanksgiving. The second thing it's a one-on-one personal thing. Ezekiel was really radical in chapter 18. He said, the soul that sins, it shall die. Every individual person has to answer to God for their own life. The soul that sins, it shall die. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's one-on-one. You know, I don't go to heaven because my granddaddy was a deacon in Central Baptist Church, Leesburg. Okay, that doesn't count for me. I don't go to heaven because I was on the cradle roll at First Baptist Church, Sanford, when I was a baby. Okay, I was premature. I had to spend a couple weeks in an incubator. It stunted my growth. Can't you tell? Lord, if I hadn't been early, I'd have been 7 feet tall and I'd have been a gazillionaire before all the other athletes that could jump started playing basketball, okay? So. It's a one-on-one thing. We come to God one-on-one with our thanksgiving, you know. He blessed us. We bless him. It's our blessings we're thankful for, okay? Psalm 107:2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Thanksgiving comes after salvation. We have to be right with God, therefore being justified by faith. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also have to be right with each other. Matthew 5:23. If any man come to the altar and remembereth that he hath aught against his brother, leave thy gift before the altar and go get right with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. We have to be right with God. We have to be right with other people. It's a serious act of worship. They that come to God must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24, God is a spirit. We worship him in spirit and in truth. It's a mental attitude. It's a spiritual act. It's an act of consecration. We're actually presenting something to God this morning, and God is watching us give it to him. We are in God's presence, and our thanksgivings are holy in his sight. We are offering God something holy this morning by celebrating and thanking him. Worship and thanksgiving is celebration. We celebrate God, we're thankful. If we celebrate God, we're supposed to be focused. We're not talking about how good the Gators looked yesterday, which they didn't, but they won, all right? You know, we're not supposed to be thinking about who's playing this afternoon, and I don't know, and I don't care. They're not going to stand for the flag. I don't care to watch them anymore, okay? You know, you might think my tie is ugly. I like paisley ties, all right? So I don't care whether you think it's ugly or not. I'm going to wear it anyway. But the focus is not on church being a fashion show. It's on us seeing God when we come to church, okay? It's not about we celebrate God, we offer sacrifices. We celebrate God by keeping our vows. What have we committed to God? And how are we keeping that commitment? We celebrate God by doing it now. Now, over and over again, it says the sacrifice you bring, it's to be eaten today. Those cakes, those loaves, no leftovers. You bring new stuff tomorrow, and you eat it tomorrow. You bring new stuff the next day, and you eat it the next day. We are to look to God for daily blessings. What God did for us yesterday is leftovers. We want God to bless us again today. And then we want God to bless us again tomorrow. It's always give us this day our daily bread. Because it's day by day that we live in fellowship with God. And it's one day at a time. You know, I don't know what the end of the week's going to look like. The end of the week's not here yet, is it? Okay, I don't know what's going to happen, except I think I'm going to bake Eileen a chicken with stuffing in it. Never stuffed anything in my life, but I'm going to stuff a chicken, all right? I don't know how it's going to turn out or if it's going to taste any good. We don't know. But we can thank God for today. And when tomorrow comes, then we work on the Thanksgiving for tomorrow. Tomorrow. It's a daily thing. No leftovers. when we bring thanksgivings to God. And we celebrate God with holiness. It is a holy thing to worship God and give thanks to God. Thanksgiving offering only lasted one day, no carryover. So daily bread, daily benefit, daily blessings. So we can thank God. What's God done for you in the last 24 hours? What has God done for you since 11:37 yesterday? Well, you didn't get run over by somebody on the road if you were out, right? What's God done for you? A satellite didn't fall out of the sky and land on your house. See, there's always something to be thankful for, okay? It didn't go down to 22 degrees last night. There's always something to be thankful for. No, I shouldn't go there. I was thinking about something. We won't go there, all right? It's a Tennessee Ernie Ford joke. Never mind. Thanksgiving. It's going to be a good week. We're going to be thankful to God. But we're thankful every day because God's blessings are new every day. When they were building the railroad across Canada, they had to buy land from the landowners. They had to buy some land from this Indian chief. This Indian's chief name was Crowfoot. And he gave them permission. They gave him benefits. He sold them territory to build the railroad on. And you know what they gave him? One of the things they gave him is they gave him a lifetime railroad pass. They gave him a ticket that let him ride on that railroad as much as he wanted to for the rest of his life. And he was so impressed with that, he punched a hole in it and wore it around his neck like a necklace. But he never used it. He had unlimited travel on the railroad for his whole life and never used it one time. And that's the way it is with us a lot. There are all kinds of blessings out there. There are all kinds of blessings God wants to give us. But sometimes we just don't ask for them. And sometimes we don't realize what they are when we get them. Well, God, I wasn't looking for that. I was looking for this. And you missed the blessing. Okay? Bruce Wilkerson's going to talk about that in the first lesson of the prayer of Jabez. A lot of us have the idea that it's okay to ask things for other people, but it's wrong to ask things for ourselves. And one of the first of the four parts of the prayer of Jabez is, Jabez prayed, Lord, bless me indeed. Have you asked God to bless you today? Have you asked God to give you abundantly out of his love as your heavenly Father? The idea is that God's got a box up there. He really doesn't, but just bear with me, all right? God's got a box up there with your name on it. It's a present. Now, have you asked God for your box for today? A lot of things we don't get if we don't ask. You ask not because you have not. You have not because you ask not. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Have you asked God for everything that's in your box today? Give us this day our daily bread. We offer God thanks. We offer God blessings. But in return, God wants to bless us. He wants to bless every one of us. But if we don't take advantage of it, if we don't ask him for it, if we miss it when he gives it to us, we're not getting blessed like God wants to bless us. So we're celebrating Thanksgiving. And we need to be thankful for what we've got. And we need to trust God that he's going to bless us with more. Because he will if we ask him. But the greatest blessing you could ever have, the greatest blessing God can ever give you, is the gift of eternal life. Eternal life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You need to ask Jesus to come into your heart and forgive your sins and give you the gift of eternal life. But if you do that and you really mean it, he will. And so you have an opportunity to do that this morning. We're going to sing hymn number 296. Jesus is the Lord of all, and he is. He is the Lord of all the world, and he is the Lord of all the blessings.